Hello there, and welcome to the Whole, Healed, Holy podcast, a place for conversations of the heart, for exploring healing, divinity, and all things sacred. I'm your host, Patricia Russo. I'm a mystic, muse, and spiritual teacher, guiding women into their hearts with a journey of softening. I'm a published poet, a lover of hearts, and a forever student. Welcome, love, to a sacred pause and hopefully a few tingles, and to a reminder that we are all whole, healed, and holy. I'm so happy you are here. Let's slip into today's episode.
I dream to experience in this lifetime the manifestation of millions of gods and goddesses on earth. Jasmine Alicia Carter is a menstrual artist, woman embodiment mentor, wife, mother of two, and founder of Sacred Women. Sacred Woman.
Sacred Woman.
A world-class brand devoted to empowering and inspiring women to return to a state of holistic balance, supporting them in embodying their authentic feminine nature to live a healthy, womb-centered, and meaningful life. Sacred Woman also has an online boutique that offers women's care products and sacred pleasure tools to awaken and celebrate the sacred sexual expression of the female body. Jasmine's favorite way to share feminine wisdom is drawing with her menstrual blood, a sacred art that she's been spreading across the world since 2016. Her work, which has gone viral all over the world, has been featured on major news platforms, led to the creation of a nonprofit organization called Menstrual Art Movement that counts thousands of women and leaders worldwide who embrace their periods as a source of empowerment and healing. Oh, it feels so good to make space for you to be here, Jasmine, and to be sitting here with you and sharing heart to heart today. Thank you so much for being here with me.
It's such a blessing to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much for creating this beautiful space. I just feel the warm, lush, feminine energy just gushing through. And we haven't yet started. So thank you.
I know. And I'm wishing that all the listeners could see what I see, because I see you on the screen here. I have this beautiful luxury of being able to see you on the screen, but the listeners are only going to be able to hear you, which I think is enough because your energy comes through. But I wish they could see what I could see, because you're surrounded by this art that I just spoke of. And it's like you're the goddess amongst the art that speaks. I mean, this is what really grabbed me. I'd love to begin with this idea of feminine wisdom, the wisdom that you have and share with women. What is this feminine wisdom, and what does it mean to return to embodying our authentic feminine nature, or to live a healthy, womb-centered and meaningful life? I'd love to just start there with this idea of feminine wisdom and what it is that you share.
Yeah. So a return to the feminine, a return to the womb is literally what it is, because we can just look around and see how the world runs, right? Running, constantly doing the next task and next task, and constantly in this doing mode, and the suppression completely of emotions. My brand, my work was born from a deep sense of feeling in a cage and not finding a place in the world. Like literally wherever I looked at, there was no space for me. There was no space for my emotions. There was no space for being a female. I had my breasts growing when I was growing up, and then I had my period. I had these pubic hairs, and I had no question. I had no answers of all of my questions. I had no space. Both of my parents were in the military service. So it was all just so growing up with this rigidity and the always having to be something in order to mean something. And that was devastating. It was absolutely devastating for my young years. I remember just growing up until 20 to 23 years, in which my life had literally no sense, no meaning. I was just running on autopilot. I was taking the hormonal contraceptive pill. I was doing everything to suppress my hormones. Like everything was just completely a mess. And there was this cathartic moment in which I was called to paint with my period. It came through me during a meditation session, and I was on my first day of period. So I was literally sitting with myself, and it was the first time ever that I gave the spaciousness for my period to be heard. First time ever in my life. Because, you know, in meditation, what happens, you carve out some space and time to be with yourself. And never happened when I had my period in that moment. And when it happened, I just had this spaciousness and my whole body was just screaming at me, was telling me so many untold stories. And that was the first time, was the first door opening towards myself. And it was absolutely mind-blowing. It felt
like... How old were you? You were in your 20s?
I was in my 20s, 24 to be exact.
Wow. Okay.
And it felt like a homecoming. And I love this word because it's the word that most of the women that come in contact with my work and try themselves to paint with their period, they always say the same word. Like, Jasmine, this feels like a huge homecoming. And I feel that there is no most powerful feeling in the entire world that you can experience if not to feel at home in your own skin.
Right.
Like that is worthy to pursue for the rest of your life. Once you have that glimpse of that feeling, mm-hmm. like I feel my life is complete. Like truly, it's been so beautiful to have that moment with a candle lit and just being on that little yoga mat with a little jar of my blood and with a piece of paper in front of me and just starting to explore. I was hesitant. I was scared. I was afraid. I was weird. Like, what am I doing? What is this? Like, it's just so unconventional and so taboo. What will people think? Mm-hmm. With all of these emotions and just look, putting my first finger of blood on the piece of paper and just looking at it. And it felt so spacious and expansive. And from there, all of my work started to ripple out. It's like the magic of the feminine, right? When you just drop the logical thinking, when you drop the mindset and you drop more into your body, mm-hmm. it literally felt that magic started to unveil. Like that is the feminine. When just logical things do not have space. It's just magic on magic. And the magic brought me to learn more about womb wisdom and learn about how to flow with the menstrual cycle and to learn about the signals of what means to have a healthy period and what is an imbalanced period and how to heal yourself. Because I was suffering horrible, painful periods. I was suffering deep, overwhelming sexual energy and I had no idea where to put it. So I came across tantra teaching and just like all of these things started to come into my world and give so much sense of what it meant to put my womb at the forefront of my life. And after that, my life followed. Because from being a struggle of finding, you know, trying, having to try to be successful in my business and strive to look for the perfect relationship, I was so invested in building a relationship with myself and my womb that then everything started to just come to me. The perfect partner and the perfect, and my business started to flow by itself and the income and the wealth, like everything started to flow magnetically and beautifully, harmoniously. When I constantly went over and over and over again with the choice, the conscious choice of I'm going to take care of my womb. First and foremost, this is me. I'm self-centered.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. What you're speaking to around this, when you grow up to be this kind of little girl and this kind of young woman who has all these questions that the world can't answer or that the world wants to answer from the mind.
Yeah.
And it's like, once you figure out the hard way, maybe, or, you know, not by looking outside or not by relying on the world to give you the answers, it's like really the descent. It's the descent of coming into yourself, into the body, into your heart, away from the mind, into the heart. Well, this is really, I think, what drew me to you is that I can see that so clearly that this is who you are and this is what you embody and this is what you paint. This is really what you paint. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit, you kind of touched on it, but can you share a little bit about your own healing journey? Because I've seen you share about a big heartbreak that you had last year in 2023 and about your spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about these and how this maybe has informed your work in service to women?
Beautiful. So the heartbreak that I specify of last year in 2023 was mostly regarding the world situation that is current right now. Mm-hmm. The war that happened, you know, in the Gaza Strip, and many will call it a genocide. And it's absolutely that. Really much more complex, but in nature. But it's like I was for the first time exposed to so many images of blood that came from so much horror and death and suffering, like so much pain, so much suffering. And it was the first time really I was exposed to so many images daily, constantly bombarded. And interestingly enough, my parents told me that I was conceived during a war, because both my parents again were in the military service, and they were both in the war of Saudi Arabia, and they just felt that it could have been their last day. You know, you don't know when you're just one and one with death, and you're just having it right here, the breath of death right behind you. And what is there left to do?
Make love.
So they made love, and
love that.
And I was born in this situation with war around me, with war around the situation, but there was love in the center of it. So, and that was kind of the mood and the taste of my life, how I was born into this world and all the happenings that happened in my life, a lot of trauma and growing up and emotional and like a lot of different things that happened to me sexually, emotionally. There was a lot of intensity, and also how I am as a sensitive being. Like I really process things in such a deep way. Mm-hmm. Like if someone feels like I'm going to be at the shore of the beach, I just want to go in the depth and the darkest places of the ocean, you know, where nobody goes, where you have no idea what is in there. I'm there. I'm always there. So the way I process information has always been a marking sign of who I am and how I relate to the world. And that's why I also needed answers. I was always so thirsty of answers. Like, why am I here in this life? If there's no love, if there's no emotions, if wherever I look, there's no space to be, like, why am I here? And I was already in communion with something higher. I was like, the questions came from the deepest part of my soul. Like, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And I remember this happened in my teenage years. So I wasn't interested in going out and partying and doing all the things that regular teenagers would do. I would just stay at home, read a book, and just write so many journals and just like exercising everything that I had inside, because I had packs and packs and packs of books. I also cut myself. So I had self-harm, and I remember seeing the blood from my cuts would give me a sense of aliveness, because I was just so numb that I needed that in order to feel something.
Okay.
This feeling. So what happened is in around 2014, I met my spiritual guru. Okay. He was from the Tibetan Buddhist tradition I follow mainly. So Vajrayana is a really big piece of my soul, and I've been practicing consistently for the past 10 years now. Wow. And that helped me immensely, you know, to give a sense of where I am, understand the nature of the mind, calm my nervous system down, try to fill up the gaps and the voids of my heart and start that healing process. However, so that was already a big awakening for me, like understanding the nature of my mind and going into these topics and meditating and all these things. That it was a very masculine approach. Of course, I didn't know the difference between masculine and feminine at that time. So I was just like so thirsty, just like, God, give me a signal or else I'm gone. Like this was. So I saw my guru, and he just like started to give me practices. And I was really diligent in my practices. I recited thousands and hundreds of thousands of mantras, like all the time. I was just like super a soldier of the Dharma. Coming back to my origins, I just became a soldier of Dharma. And okay, I arrived at a point in which I felt kind of healed. Like I felt like this non-duality in my experience, like good and bad do not exist in all these aspects. So I felt a kind of a peace in my heart, but there was this always this piece of, okay, but what does it mean to be a woman? There was always this aspect of me having periods, and I have no idea with how to deal with them. There was this aspect of, I feel completely at the mercy of my hormones. I have no, like one day I feel on top of my game, super sociable. And one day I want to hide in a cave. And another day I feel like super pissed off. And I want to just like, wah, throw plates around everywhere. And another day I'm super calm and chill. And I feel so motherly. Like, what is this? Right. What is this? Where to put it? How to navigate it? It was too much. It was a lot. So it wasn't giving me answers on this aspect of myself. And period art came.
Okay.
And that started to weave a little bit of my understanding. And then we come back to the discourse so that I opened the doors and womb wisdom. I started to find different tantra teachers and womb work that really helped me understand all the cyclicality and weave that product. And what was beautiful of all this, the most beautiful aspect, I would say, coming back to your question, is understanding the period phase and the premenstrual phase that are the most condemned phases, right? The most misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And having a life of so much intensity and so much pain and interwoven in that, it's like learning and weaving that into the whole menstrual cycle aspect of my life. I was able to then appreciate and express more of the joy and the passion and the love that also comes with the follicular ovulation phases. Mm-hmm. So it's like this full spectrum of truly living your life at the fullest. Like when I feel something, I just feel so much. Like when I'm in my menstrual phase, I feel death and I am completely in it. And I am not like trying to resist it. And when I'm on my ovulation phase, I feel this energy of fertile, and I could make out with the air that I'm breathing. You know, it's just like this endless love story. So this power that we have as women inside of our wombs to have these, the cycle of life and death, and it's incredible. Like it's
we are embodying it in this cycle.
Yes, we have that.
And so much of the way that we live is about numbing it, or is about masking it, or is about avoiding it, or is about not asking about it, or not sitting with it, or not accepting it. Mm-hmm. And I love this. I can feel this so deeply through your share about the sensitivity and being really sensitive to every aspect of the cycle, and just like really feeling it, giving yourself permission to feel it deeply. Yeah, that feels really, really beautiful. Your moon collection, Jasmine, is incredible. This is what I saw first, and I was just like, it like had arms and came through the screen and pulled me in.
Wow.
How did expressing yourself with, you shared this first piece around, you just felt kind of like, you know, I was wondering, was it intuitive? Did it follow some, was it like a gnosis, an inner gnosis? Does it follow some ancient art or practice? But I would love, that's really where I want to spend the rest of our conversation, is about your art and about what the blood is. And like, I want to go into that in my future questions, but how did expressing yourself with this, with your menstrual blood, come to be? You said you just kind of had this thought, and you put yourself kind of in the thought.
Yeah.
And then how did that happen? Did you just start moving intuitively? Like, I'm guessing that you're to call yourself a menstrual artist, that's so beautiful. And I'm guessing that you are one of a kind, but maybe there are a long line of, maybe this is an ancient art that not many of us know very much about. So I would just love to start at the beginning of the story, and then we can kind of weave in through there.
I love this conversation. So menstrual art came to me intuitively, in a sense that I was, it was on an ayahuasca ceremony. I call it a meditation retreat, depending on where, you know, the conversation goes, but it was an ayahuasca ceremony. So for who doesn't know ayahuasca, it's like the ceremony where you use plant medicine, and it really gives you a direct window to who you are. Like, right. I can't find anything else how to explain it.
That's beautiful. That's exact.
Exactly. Yeah. This precise. So it just unveils who you are, you know. It just lifts the veils, puts on these glasses of truth, and you're just directly seeing who you are, the nature of your reality. And in that moment, I was on my period. So the nature of my reality in that moment was, I am period. I am the experience of period. So it was a full deep dive for 7 hours of being in a period. So of course I've been awakened to period from being something that I was completely avoiding, completely hidden under the rug, that I had no idea what it was. And I was very repulsive to it, actually, because of all the conditioning. So it came as a shock, actually, because I was there, and I was, the visions that I had was I was in a churnal ground. So and there was death all around me, and the skies were all red, and there was darkness, and there was blood, and there was bones, and all these things. And I was like, where am I?
Wow.
What is this? And then I started to feel my skin started to peel off and started to drop on the ground below me. But the thing is that as the skin was falling on the earth was sucking it inside of it, inside of her. And like little like flowers and green and grass would start to bloom from that.
Wow.
And I was kind of sort of understanding like, what? Oh, okay. But am I dying? Is this a rebirth? Like, what is this process? So I was really like intrigued and passionate. I was also a bit of fear. There was also fear of this and it was really intense. But I was left with this feeling of awe of, wow, like the period is not something that happens once a month and I'm just like living it in my womb. It's like, it's getting the entirety of me at a mental, spiritual, emotional level. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. And then I had a moment in which I had a physiological urge to go to pee. So I went to the bathroom and I took down my underwear and I was using pads at that time.
Okay.
And I saw the blood on my pad and I looked at it and I saw the blood for the first time in my life. And I was brought back to the first time ever I had my first period. And I was 12 years old and I was sitting on the bathroom. It was a normal day of school. I woke up, I went to the bathroom, I pulled down my panties. I saw the blood and I thought I was dying. I was about to pass out. I looked for my mom and like, Mom, what is happening? What is this? And she very neutrally, because we had also a very rough relationship, she just came to me like, oh, well, welcome to the club. You're a woman now. She handed me a pad and she left me there.
Okay.
So it was really traumatizing, of course. And I was always surprised over time to share my story and how many women told me, oh, this happened to me too. Same exact words. Welcome to the club.
Right.
So that really set the foundation of how I lived my womanhood after that. Okay. So the moment in which I went to the bathroom and I saw my pad again, it was like that healing, that cathartic healing moment in which I was looking at my blood for the first time in the way I should have saw it the first time it came. That was the healing process. So we had the period. At the same time, I was already in a few years back in my spiritual practice. So in Buddhism, and I was practicing a lot and the mantras and the yantras. And there was like all these, there was a lot of symbolism of spirituality that really called me and was part of completely, and I was completely invested in that. So we had period, we had the spirituality and art. Art was a part of my life since I was really, really young. Okay. I loved art. I love expressing myself. I love dancing. I had an older brother that also was into drawing. So I was always there with him and drawing and painting. And I did art school. I graduated in art school. Like art has been a huge catalyst in my life also to process deep emotions. Okay. So it was always there in my service to really alchemize deep, intense feelings and making them into something beautiful. So in that moment in the bathroom, I had this like aha moment. So funny that my life completely changed in a bathroom. So I have a sense of reverberance for bathrooms. I was the bridge bringing these three aspects together.
All came together.
And my menstrual art is literally encompasses the beauty of the blood, the period blood, and all the magic that it holds as woman. It has the art, the aspect of art of transmuting intensity into meaning, into beauty. And then my spiritual path, spirituality. So what is the most highest for me? So I'm weaving literally my blood, my DNA into what is the highest for me every single time.
Okay.
So it becomes something, it becomes per se a deep spiritual practice for me every single time that I sit with my blood every month.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's so much here. And as I'm watching you, again, I have this luxury of seeing Jasmine during this conversation while you're listening, and she's surrounded by this art that we're speaking of. And it's so, each piece, I mean, has its own energy. And now that you've just told us about this kind of this convergence of all that you are in this world, that these worlds and these layers of who you are kind of came together. And I love that you had the help of Aya to kind of give you this glimpse of what is possible and who you are and what it could be. This feels like an obvious question, this next question, but I think it's so important since we're talking about this for like, and I would, and this is like really to hear it from you, it's, I think, really powerful. what is menstrual blood exactly? Like, what is it? And you kind of just gave it the essence, which is that this is why I'm asking. Like, I would love for us to spend just a little bit of time talking about what is it physically? What is it energetically? What is it spiritually? Because as an artist, you're working with this medium, and you just shared kind of what it means to you and what it is that you're creating. But what do you hope to convey with this medium? Mm-hmm. With and through your art, knowing what it is, you really kind of answered that as you were, sharing the answer of the last question. But I want to give it the weight of it because, and I'm going to get into like the second part of this question is about the taboos. So we'll save that for mm-hmm. the second part, because there is a lot of taboo with blood and with, especially with period blood. Yeah. But let's go into what is menstrual blood physically, energetically, and spiritually for you, because this is the medium that you sit with. And what you have to say.
Actually, I have on the list, business-wise, to write an entire book. And I have an entire course on everything regarding just the blood, without even having to touch art, because there's so much to say about it. It's just alone, the blood has so much. So menstrual blood, in essence, is life force energy. We see this also said a lot in the Eastern world, right? In traditional Chinese medicine, it's mm-hmm. our life force energy. And for men, for the male body, it's semen. Mm-hmm. So these are the two fluids that actually have the potential of creation of life.
Okay.
So menstrual blood is created through the entire process that we go through for an entire month of fertility mm-hmm. in order to, create and preserve life. This is ultimately the agenda of existence itself, like the preservation of life. We have this beautiful divine mandate to preserve life. We are the carers, the nurturers, and the preservers of life. So already this is such a powerful, way to every time you're having a bleed, looking at it and just seeing this as such.
Biologically,
right?
This mandate, that's so beautiful. Yeah, it's our mandate to continue to preserve life and continue life. Yeah,
exactly. And that's our utmost reminder. And blood on a more scientific level, it's very different from the vein blood, because this blood, the womb blood, contains so many nutrients that, of course, are there because they are there to serve and nourish a potential fetus if we are to conceive. So it's jam-packed of nutrients, jam-packed of iron and zinc and copper and phosphorus and like all of these beautiful, juicy, fertile nutrients. That in fact, if we just take a moment to think, I think of this often, like, okay, in the past, when pads didn't exist and there weren't menstrual cups, like what would women do? They would free bleed, of course.
Right.
They would have their blood running down their legs and just going down deep into the earth.
Right.
And not by chance, if you give your blood back to the earth, the plants thrive. I give my blood to all of my pot plants and they're just like the jungle. Right. It's so beautiful. This is thriving and so juicy and just so alive through my blood. But this already also this aspect of so much fertility and so much beauty that it can bring. And blood per se, it's also this deep aspect of death, right? I gave birth 2 times. And I remember being in the birth pool after giving birth to my sons, and all the water suddenly become completely red. This dark red, and I was in the middle of death. It was like in the middle. And as I took my sons out of the water, like from that water, they came life. Mm. It was the most beautiful moment to be there and witness this twice in my experience. Like, look at that. Like how death and birth are just so intertwined through our blood, through our wombs. Right, it's just like wetness and water. You can't detach these two things.
Right,
there's always this aspect of the woman feeling like, let's say yes to life, but oh my God, no to death. I don't want to go there.
Right,
so of course, let's go to summer. Beautiful, it's juicy and sexy, but I hate winter. Or like, there's always this opposing force. Like we like to be happy, but we're not happy to be sad. There's always this very big duality that through our wombs and through connecting with blood.
Okay.
It can be dissolved.
Okay.
There's this marriage, right? Through the blood. This is this most beautiful spiritual aspect of blood, in my opinion. leading back to what we mentioned, my heartbreak of last year, seeing all of these people who are dying and right. and that are still currently happening in all angles of the world. Okay, mm-hmm. it's not just there, but how we're able to cope with death as a reality in our existence and to be able to move forth and not be shocked by it, but actually use it as a force to bring good in our life, to bring good for ourselves and the people around us. This is my prayer and the message that I always want to convey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm also noticing with the art that's behind you, because it's a living thing. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a living and dying thing, kind of yeah. to speak to what you just said. It's yeah. living and dying. It's life and death on the canvas. It changes, right? Because it's not... And I'm imagining that any medium that an artist uses, whether it's watercolor or any other kind of paints, it lives and breathes, but mm-hmm. not the way that blood does. And so I feel like with this medium, as an artist, you probably can see how the art changes yeah. depending on whether it's framed or not, if there's a varnish or if it's open. It's almost like it's oxidizing or like it's yes. yeah yes. it's aging because it is a impermanent and very
yes,
human and very natural, but yes. that also in its essence is symbolically what you're saying, where it's life and death. So it's yes. it's literally maybe eventually going to dissolve back yes. to nothing. Yeah.
100%. Yes. I have my first ever period art hanged in the wall of the kitchen of my mother. Huh. And she's always calling me like, Daz, man, you have to make me another one because this one is fading.
Right.
So it was almost 8 years ago. And every time I go back to my mom and I go visit her and I always look at it and it's like slowly fading. And I love keeping it that way. Just like, yeah. The first one needs to go back in the ethers because that is the alpha and the omega of this work. You know, okay. like this is where it all began and where it will go. In a sense, right? So also coming back to the question that you asked me, like if this was something performed in ancient times, I wondered also, but I also imagined like, okay, if they were actually painting in ancient times, it would be really difficult to find any proof of it because it dissolves. So right. I don't know if they had any way to preserve it, but
right.
So we know of many different rituals and you know, traditions that there were amongst the women who cared for women, like the red tents and the rituals that were performed with the blood. And we have many scripts and manuscripts of all of these practices and rituals. But the proof of like blood per se is just gone.
It's impermanent.
Time, you know, it's impermanent. So yes, yeah. But I definitely feel that it tapped like everything that is channeled through me. Of course, it's part of the collective. And we just know that we're one with everyone. It's just a collective consciousness. And when women come to this work as well and they start painting, and I oftentimes receive like, Jasmine, is this normal that the more I'm going deep into my blood, I just feel that I want to smear it on my face? Like right. I feel weird about it, but I know I can talk only to you about this. How many told me this?
Mm, or taste many? It.
Or taste yeah, it or yeah. just like, yes, and go there and drink it. Like there's so many things you can do with it. But just intuitively we go there. So like it has to be something that has always been part of us, but due to suppression and taboo and conditioning and shame, and it's something that we just are too afraid to go there. But as we go step by step by step, these things start to come back. It's always a remembrance, not learning something new. It's just a remembrance.
We're remembering. Well, I love this. That's a perfect segue because I want to talk about the taboos with menstrual blood and with just blood in general. And what you said about witnessing the violence right now, the most recent violence that we're witnessing kind of in a large scale in the world. And it is happening and it has been happening, you know, since the beginning of time, violence and oppression and genocide, these things. But I think we're witnessing it on such a we're seeing it now. So we're seeing so much of it now that we're beginning to like, and this is, there's a good and a bad of that, right? Like I'm grateful that there's a bigger awareness because I'm hoping that something that maybe we can move more, you know, towards peace in a bigger way. But, let's talk about taboos with menstruation and blood. Where are we today and have we progressed? And where do you see the places where we can be more embodied or understood or cherished? Where we can embrace our periods as a source of empowerment and healing. like both within and without. I'm imagining that your entire energy field is surrounded by these women who are kind of blasting through the taboo and sitting with their blood and tasting their blood and painting with their blood and painting their faces with their blood. And this is really beautiful. Where is the world with this? Is there still a taboo around periods? And also I'm remembering, I can't remember who it was, but there was a really well-known brand that did a little ad, kind of a one of those shock advertisements recently with period bloods. And so we've got the period panties and we've got many things happening now, which I think are trying to address this taboo around menstruation and periods. But can you speak to kind of the state of affairs with what's happening?
Definitely.
And maybe it's cultural too, because I think in some cultures, there's still, you know, very much, it's very much about let's not talk about it or let's like pretend that it doesn't exist. Whereas I think in some other cultures, we're really much more progressive.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, beautiful questions. So yeah, definitely due to the nature of my work, we could say, I always love to be kind of the bridge between the people who finally have got over the taboo and now they completely embodied it and they love it and they're just out there and just living their life how it should be. And the ones who are still yet to understand this. And I'm kind of that bridge that mends. And this is the reason why I also love to continue to collaborate with big media outlets and people in like normal journal sensationalism. Okay. Yeah. And they bring like, oh, the mother of two is painting with her period blood and all these things that they put in such a light. It's like so deteriorating. However, it reaches the masses.
Right. Okay.
And I feel that I'm here also for this reason, because in a way or another, every time any of my works have gone viral or have been used to, you know, go out and impact the world ever, I have received both the people who are really interested, women who are really interested and really like felt that there was a pull here and like, oh, what is this? What is this? I'm curious. I'm a bit hesitant and reluctant, but I also want to know more about it. And then they eventually go through the transformation and they also become one of the divine fairy goddesses that are out there living their life.
They love it.
And the other, and also a very big, how you say, flip side of it, you know, and the backlash and the haters and the bullies and the ones who will never get this work at all. But it's really important for my work. It's important for my drive. It's important for my passion, because also it's really important also to listen, because that is the proof that still today there are so many people who are very deep into the conditioning. Mm-hmm. I do see a lot of work done, really well made, period panties, menstrual cups, the pads, like menstrual care, more normalization of this topic. There's so much going on right now in the field. So much feminine empowerment, mm-hmm. and all these things. I see also that many of these projects come with a sense of deep feminism, but feminism that is kind of the flip side of the patriarchy, you know, like it's really coming with this aggressive message that is really not serving as much, because in my experience, what I feel about when we normalize periods, it's also this aspect of, again, merging the duality. So it's not something that I'm coming with this aggressive tone. It's something like I have to meet up with grace. So when haters come into my life, they're met with compassion. Mm-hmm. They're met with a lot of compassion from me, because, again, I just see that it's the conditioning speaking. It's not them. I was there too. I was one of them too. Like if I was met with this work when I was a teenager in the middle of my pains and all these things, and a woman would show me, look, this is period art, I would have puked. I would. I know I would. So I'm being real, and I understand their viewpoints and I understand where they're coming from, but that's the conditioning. Mm. I'm going to be there. If you want me, I can navigate through you. If not, I'm going to trace the boundary. You don't come into my temple and just throw your dirt on me. Like, I respect where you're coming from, but I'm going to trace that boundary. I'm going to just exclude you outside. You can just stay outside. When you're ready, you come in. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's this very deep layer. However, when I went viral on several occasions, beautiful to see also so many different cultures coming in. So I would have a wave of Filipinos, for example. So in Philippines, many say that it was normal. It was like, oh, this is so beautiful. Like, very interesting that you're using your art, because my grandmother told me that if you put your period on your face, you will never experience acne. Beautiful. I didn't know this. So in the Philippines, it's actually common use to make period facials. And India, wow, okay, very intense. We have a little bit of duality there, because there are a lot of third world countries where period poverty is extreme. Mm-hmm. And they still are just navigating now. Like, there's still women, girls that are using cloths from the floor. Mm-hmm. And of course, bringing so much disease and so much reproductive imbalance. And it's so heartbreaking to see. And there's so many societies and projects that are helping to bring cops and more awareness of this. Mm-hmm. But we're still a little bit in the background. And in more, you know, advanced, we could say, cities, there is a little bit more sensitivity. So when they come and see my work, I either get a very good reaction of like, wow, this is like, I never thought of it. I'm going to dive deeper into it. I had girls write me, girls, like little girls of 15, 16 years, telling me, I am currently in the bathroom of my house. I closed the door because nobody has to see me, but I'm here painting with my blood. And I want to tell you, this is so beautiful. And if I'm discovered, they would throw me out of the house, but I really wanted to do it.
I love it. That's the little girl that you and I needed when we were that age. There's like
somebody who
makes us feel like we're not the only ones.
Yes. With
experience. Oh, I love that.
Yes. Yeah. So I get so many different many men that have their say, of course, that they want to say, of course, like, how this is so disgraceful and distasteful. And if I would ever go in their lands, they would just close me and behind bars and like they curse me with all sorts of things. And always this mostly happens in India and the United States. Unfortunately, that's where I get the most ignorant comments, like just ignorant. It's not mean, but just ignorant.
Just the not knowing.
Exactly. Like, it just, I'm just used to seeing, not seeing your blood, and this is just gross and just vile, et cetera.
Okay.
So there's so many different, you know, shades and nuances, and it's really interesting and actually enlightening to see, because again, it's something that makes me continue to question. It renews my passion of showing up for this work over and over again, because there will always be someone out there that will need this message. Mm-hmm.
It's a really loaded question and state of affairs because of the culture, because it's not easy. I don't think we're ever going to all of us have the same wisdom and the same understanding and the same appreciation for this. What is the menstrual art movement exactly? And what is the work that you do? And how can women get involved in this nonprofit that you have? I'd love to talk about this for a moment.
Oh, menstrual movement is a movement that was born on its own, in a sense that by me showing up consistently on the social media over the years and years and years, I had every single day, and I still have every single day, women and bleeders sending me their artwork, submitting it to me and say, I tried it for the first time. This is absolutely amazing. And rather than just keeping them in my DMs, which is like, I said, let's create a movement out of it. Because also my work, having been an artist for a long time, I really go into detail. It's part of my message and intention to create something beautiful. So I like to spend a lot of time, many hours in creating my art because I want it to have a certain impact. I want it to be beautiful. I want it to be mind-boggling because this is so beautiful. But at the same time, it's made with something so raw. Like, where do I put it? It's just like this in the mind, you know? Yeah. But you don't have to be an artist to do this. So the menstrual art movement comes also in support for women who have no idea where to start. They can get so much inspiration by so many bleeders and women have done this. And even just the mark with your finger, just even putting your hand in your blood and putting on the print, just doing a stick figure, like whatever, writing down a phrase of empowerment for yourself. I love myself. I love my yoni. Painting what could be the representation of your yoni. Doing, like, there's so many ways you can go about this. And it has to be for you. So the menstrual art movement is us to showcase the beauty and the variety And the messages that come through every single womb, because there's so many messages. I share the picture of the womb, of the art that has been submitted. And then the caption that goes with it also gives a glimpse of what has been birthed through that artwork for every single user, right? So it's
a space and appreciation and permission and yes. And just like and then you really seeing, like you really witnessing and holding space for women who are ready for this, who want the space for this.
100%. But not only because, I mean, this is what it is for now. As I'm also building, I have a lot on my plate, business-wise, and all my courses that I want to create and books, et cetera. But my vision for the future, especially for the menstrual art movement, is for it to be a nonprofit. And there will be activities and things that I will promote in time to be able to bring this knowledge and education to the third world countries. Yeah, I wanted something to give back. You know, I wanted this something, this message, this powerful message that we all need to get to a state of affairs where period is normalized. Mm-hmm. And what I wish to see is not only it's normalized, I want everyone to see it normal, but the next step is to see it as sacred.
Right.
See it as something worthy of devotion. That is what is also a little bit missing, I would say, like so something that I would love to see more in the feminine empowerment world.
It's gosh, not just- I hope the mamas today are sending that message. You know, the mamas of before were certainly, I love them. This is no judgment, but were saying welcome to the club. And if the mamas were saying that to the daughters, imagine what the men in the world, imagine what the men in the world are getting no wisdom unless their mother's mentioning it, but why would she? And it's, I would say, very special if she did. And now I feel like with this, with so much, you know, raising in the consciousness of all that is sacred, I'm guessing that women now, mothers now, are not saying welcome to the club, but maybe are treating it with a little bit more sanctity. And perhaps the result of that will be, I mean, I've seen before where fathers have cherished their daughters on this day, yeah, in a special day when they've gotten their period, and like when it's attended to in that kind of careful way. This is really, I think, in what we need in order for this to become like a collective consciousness, for it to shift from taboo or something that is dirty or something that is not welcome or not life, yeah, into something that is sacred and full of life and the feminine and just like so worthy of honoring and cherishing. I would love for you to leave us with an embodiment practice that's been powerful for you, or one that listeners can easily incorporate, which might bring them more deeply into their feminine nature or closer to their womb, or into like, even if it's like, even if this isn't a practice of like how to begin painting with your blood, if anyone who's listening is feeling you could tingle around this, like, ooh, I have never thought of that. And maybe I should try that today. While I have you here, I'd love, and this is the work that you do, I'm imagining, with your embodiment practices. Like, what are some of your practices, and what are like some things that listeners can maybe do easily at home?
Yeah, I'm going to narrate a practice that is just perfect to complete also the question that you asked me of what is actually period blood, because I missed this important aspect of it, of being information. Like literal information of what we have processed for an entire month. Mm. Because of course we go through an entire moon phase. We go through an entire cycle. And in 1 month, countless things happen. Countless things, whether we are conscious or aware of it or not, our bodies are picking it up. Mm-hmm. So everything that we do or we don't do, everything that we think, everything that we're going through and processing, our bodies will pick that up and it will go into our wombs and it will be released at that time. So every single month when I have my period, what I love to do, and I always recommend to my clients and sisters when they come, is just take a formal moment with a hand in their heart and a hand on their womb, just taking a moment of silence, really tuning in the body, getting inside of the tissues, feeling the heartbeat, getting so still until you can actually feel your heartbeat and your chest that is pumping, and all the blood that is just running through all of your body and going inside of the womb, just feeling the sensations without any judgment, getting really deep into connection with your body. And then take a moment to just tap into the innate wisdom that is in the body and just ask it, what was alive this month? May it come through a word or an image. Just like, well, what is the theme of this past month? What is the theme? What am I going through? And it's so beautiful to do this recurrently because you start to really rewire your brain into thinking in terms of a cycle.
Right.
Like, it's just like when I'm on my ovulation or follicular or luteal phase, I'm just picking up like, okay, what happened during this month? And I'm not thinking linearly anymore. I really feel more as a spiral. Like it was like,
and
it feels so
embodied for like to me, this practice, like it's come into your body and listen to what the story in your body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incredible. I love it so much. Every single period phase, I always do this moment of check before I actually start painting. And I just listen to what is the message that wants to be conveyed through me. And that's when the magic of the artwork comes in, because every single one of my paintings holds a message that I remember. I will remember clearly which phase I was in my life because it holds that message.
Wow.
So whatever you do, like you come back, it's like, oh my God, I was going through a really deep heartbreak this time. I do remember, and I will remember it for the rest of my life because it's here.
Okay.
And this was for the war, and this is for the masculine. And then there are like so many things. But how meaningful that can be, having memories, you know, and chunks of who you are that you can actually see in front of you. And it makes you so deeply embodied. And again, you get out of this linear modality of, the month starts at the first of this month, it ends at the 31st, but it's like more of a cycle. Like, okay, my last period was on the 15th and the next one will be on the 16th. And your brain works in a completely different way that is more feminine.
Okay. And then for the listeners like me, I'm going to be 53 in May and my cycle is all over the place right now. Mm-hmm. It's having its way with me. And I'm just, that's a real teacher too. It's like, for my whole life, I've been able to track it so beautifully and it's been so reliable. And now it's like, I'm a teenager again because it comes when it wants, you know? And so there's that. And I think it is so feminine to just really be embodied with it, just to sit with it and listen to what it's telling you. Mm-hmm. I don't have this on my list of questions, but I just was thinking when we were speaking about just the collective consciousness and raising the collective consciousness, you have two sons. And so I'm imagining as they witness you in this way, that's also you're doing your part to, you know, bring them into this awareness of how special this is and what this is exactly. And it's so like blasting through the taboo of just with them, I think.
Oh, yes, 100. They were literally born in it. I was already painting as much. And I remember catching my oldest son. I was painting and I had just to go to the kitchen to grab like a piece of paper to clean up. And I went back and my period was there. He was having it in his hand. It was all smeared over his face. He tasted it and there was blood everywhere around him. He was just like, nah, nah. Oh. You know, like, oh,
that's so innocently.
Like so innocent. It was so beautiful. Yes.
That's it. Just with
now that he's growing and growing and witnessing me and all these things, he's asking questions. He knows every time that there's the full moon in the sky, he looks at me and like, Mama, you're having your blood now, right? Aren't you? So he's like, he's already in sync. He already knows these things. Every time my period comes in, I tell him like, my period is here. And he's like all in awe and wonder and surprise and giving me that, you know, and my husband is hugging me and kissing me on my forehead and just like making sure that I'm cared for. So they're growing up with these examples.
It's really
and
beautiful.
To me, it's like, this is exactly what it has
everything.
To be.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. There's something really, really, really incredible about witnessing the honest curiosity of children. Like before we get all the programming, before we get all the conditioning, before we get the story, other people's story, but for you to just find him there with this honest curiosity is like, that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. At the end of every episode, I like to ask the same three questions to my guests. And the first one is, which do you relate to the most? whole, healed, or holy, and why?
I would say holy, because it really feels that it encompasses also the other two terms, healed and whole. To me, when you come to a space of holy, of the sacred, it means that it's worthy of reverence. It means that it's worthy of devotion, whether you are whole, whether you are healed, like you are sacred. Wherever you are, however you are, in whichever position, whichever modality, whatever you're going through, you are sacred. And this already brings so much meaning in the life. So I really feel
Jasmine,
that.
Jasmine, I've never had anyone say that before, bring that out to me. And that's so beautiful. That is so beautiful and so true. The sacred is whole and the sacred is healed. The sacred is
sacred.
a book that you love or that you've gifted the most.
Yeah. Okay. This is mostly regarding the tradition that I follow, but I love that it's made by an author that kind of put it in more Western, language. It's called Dakini, the Warm Breath of the Dakini. Love it so much.
Ooh,
yes, the warm breath of the Dakini. It's the feminine principle in Tibetan Buddhism. And the author is Judith Simmer Brown.
That's okay. I'm gonna add that to my list right away. And I want to have you back for another episode to talk about the sexual embodied practice. Mm-hmm. And like that, I just wanted to really spend this hour focusing on your art and on how you are transmuting all of this into beauty. And because I think it's so beautiful what you're doing. The last one is a quote or mantra that you love or one that guides you.
So I have my own personal mantras, I would say, that I have been given by my own teachers and gurus, and I love how they explain what are mantras. They say that are like phone numbers. when you recite them and dial them, they don't mean anything. It's like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But then when you're dialing the number, it's who is picking up the phone on the other side that would be what is meaningful, right? So it's like I have my phone numbers, I have my own mantras in a sense. But if I were to bring one that is more simple, is something that I can recall every time, especially when there's times of intensity. It comes from a very beautiful teacher, Ananda Maima, that I love so much. And
I love her. It's so crazy.
I'm in an orgasmic moment right now.
I mean, Jasmine, I'm reading.
Really?
I'm reading the book, The Gospel.
No way.
That's so great that you just mentioned her. I love her.
What she says is, whatever shall pass, let it be. I think that is the most open, spacious, feminine quote of just of a surrender of allowance of everything that is. Just whatever shall be, whatever shall pass, just let it be. It's fine. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Just the radical acceptance. Can you please share the ways that listeners can find you or connect with you? Do you have some offerings coming up? Just would love to give you some space to share how anybody can connect with you that's feeling a tingle right now.
Yeah, I'm in a really exciting phase of my life right now, because within the next 2 or 3 years, I feel that I'm going to be birthing a lot of courses that really represent all of the aspects of the feminine that I personally have gone through and my method, and like in a real beautiful, complete journey. And these are going to be births hopefully from March onwards. I have my website with my online boutique is www.sacredwoman.com. Very simple, sacredwoman.com. I have my Instagram page, it's Jasmine Alicia Carter. I have the menstrual art movement page. And I also have my shop page, always on Instagram, is Sacred Woman Boutique. So you can find me on any of these three. I'm mostly active on my personal page, of course. My website encompasses, there's a lot of the big blog section that is really nice. It has all of my products of womb care and everything. And then it will also have the courses inside of the same webpage. So it's everything.
And do you sell your art or how would...
Yes, I actually do. You have a section in the shop where I also sell the prints.
Prints. Okay, so yes. It's not the originals you keep and then you make prints that you share.
for now. I also have projects for the originals when the time will come. But for now, yes. I mean, it's so intimate. You know, I just can't.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I mean, unless it's a commissioned piece, I'm thinking
I need to really know the person. I need to know their motivation. I need to enter into a connection because a piece of me will be there with them forever. So it's like, it's a big deal.
Energetic connection. For
yes.
Sure. I love you so much. And I'm so inspired by the way that you embody the wisdom that you share and by the artist that you are and the way that you've transmuted your own healing journey into art, into beauty. It's so beautiful. And that you're doing your part to raise these sons with this incredible cherishing and honoring of the feminine and of this sacred life force that we shed every month. It's so beautiful, Jasmine. Thank you for being here with me today and for generously sharing your story and your heart and your art with us.
So much. I feel so blessed. Thank you for everyone who is listening. Thank you for you, Patricia, for this beautiful space. I'm so grateful. Mm.
Thank you for listening. It means a lot to me that we have shared this moment of deep conversation. If you feel inspired or touched by something in this episode, please leave a comment and or a review. For more in all the ways, please find me at Whole Healed Holy on Instagram and at www.patricia-russo.com on the web. Stay close, please, and know that you are whole, you are healed, and you are holy. I love you. Until next time.